Good evening, everybody there, or good morning, everybody, unless you happen to be in Hawaii, which is kind of where I wish I was. This is KMUN 91.9. Stand by. It's Paul Harvey bouncing in my... Stand by for a conversation with John Orr. Our special guest today will be Mr. Mayor Henry Ballen Seifer. Greetings, all of you out there in Radio Land. It's time for a conversation with John Orr. Our special guest today is Mr. Henry Ballen Seifer, Mayor Ballen Seifer, to those of you who live in Gearhart. And so we welcome your calls today. I mean, in Warrenton. Did I say Gearhart?
Gearhart's
more coffee. let me regain my composure. So... we welcome your calls, so anything pertaining to matters of Warrenton. Number here is 503-325-0010. That's 325-0010. So the topics at hand, as I mentioned before, are Spur 104. That's an area over there by Home Depot and Alexandrov Dentistry, where proposed development or maybe it's an actual development. We'll get all the details about that from the mayor. And the situation with the elk. Fortunately, we don't have elk problems in Astoria, but they have them pretty much everywhere else. And the city of Gearhart is dealing with it. The city of Warrenton and is dealing with it. So we'll get an update on what efforts are being made to... Well, for our city and state governments to engage in sensible... wildlife management, topic of last week's show, so I guess this will encompass that a little bit. And the third topic that we have on our outline anyway is housing, and we'll see what efforts are underway to address the affordable housing situation and crisis here in Clatsop County. And for those of you in Tillamook, I have not forgotten about you. I'm going to be doing some outreach to community leaders or people that have topics they'd like to address, and Rockaway Beach or Manzanita, because our listenership goes out there, and I do want to engage them. So you can call the station and leave a message if you would like to be a guest and bring a topic of interest to our wider listenership here on KMUN 91.9. Oh, and one more thing. This is the membership drive. So our goal, our pledge goal is $200. That's modest. Apparently, as a new programmer with a new program, modest goals are what the station has set for me. So I have mixed feelings about that. But listeners who have told me before that you like my show, this would be a way of showing support. And as this is my only viable means of livelihood, actually, that's a joke, folks. There's no compensation. We're volunteers. So in the spirit of volunteering and sustaining member-supported public radio and programs like this, please give us a call at 325-0010 to make a pledge. Make a pledge. Let's meet our $200 goal. Now let's get on with the show. Let's do a little old mic check here. So Mayor Ballen Seifer, talking to that cannon, tell us how you're doing today.
I'm doing great, John. Thank you so much for having me on the show. As you know, radio is kind of my first love in terms of mode of communication. I used to have a radio show on a different radio station about what's happening in Warrenton for about 5 years, and I love radio, so I appreciate the opportunity to be back on.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show, and this is your second appearance, and so let's dive right into it. We talked a little bit about what's going on in Warrenton, what would be of interest, and you know, I like a little bit of controversy, so hopefully you've come armed with topics of controversy as well as general interest. Fire away.
Well, I'll probably start with Spur 104. It's been kind of an interesting deal because it's taken the city for this zone change several years to get around to it. It's a publicly funded zone change.
Let the listeners out there have a better idea of where 104 and where it figures in transportation.
Sure. So Spur 104 is the section of highway that is between, so 104 is actually South Main Avenue in Warrenton, Oregon. And there's 101, which everyone knows that is. And then there's Ensign that connects basically 104 to 101. The Spur 104 development that we're talking about today is really just a designation for the land between Ocean Crest, Chevrolet dealership, and Home Depot, and between 104, Spur 104 Highway, and 101.
Gotcha.
And so it's a 19-acre parcel, which has got all sorts of different landowners there, and it's actually the site of the only, in the last, I guess you could say, 30 or 40 years, successful local improvement district that's ever been formed. And that was for sewer improvements that the landowners there decided to form a special district, basically, to fund sewer improvements. In the public hearings, it was claimed that water was part of that. That's not true. Water still needs to be developed there. Matter of fact, they had actually requested that the Urban Renewal District pay for those water improvements, which was denied. But we did decide that at the time, years ago, to move forward with the zone change. And it's just taken a long time to get to there. This is probably the first time in my memory, being in local government since 2012, that we've ever required that the commission, I should say, the city commission's required a master plan in association with a zone change.
And that's a good thing?
I do believe so.
What is it and why is it good?
Well, as you know, people have property rights. So as you zone it, people will have the ability to develop what they want. And one of the issues that came up for me was, and I think the commission as well, was traffic. Traffic between 104, that Ensign strip that basically is the Lums to Home Depot section, Staples. It's a really bad section of road. Oddly enough, the city only owns that little section, but ODOT controls the accesses to and from it because they own the highways in between. And then county owns Ensign on the North Coast Business Park side. But the traffic with Wendy's coming in is going to be an issue. And Wendy's was an outright permitted use because it was in the commercial zone. We later fixed that after we learned of that. But the problem is once an application is put into when someone submits an application for land use development, they are locked into the rules that exist at the time that they applied. So there's no going back and fixing anything after that has happened unless they're
just cutting to the chase. Does this suggest that in addition to the traffic posed in general by increasing development, that people seeking their triple cheeseburgers will perhaps impede the flow of traffic from 104 to 101?
Most definitely. Ensign's going to be problematic. And anything that we do on that section, because of how close it is to the state highways, has to kind of be done in consultation with ODOT, which has already said that the only ingress and egress to both north and south and east and west is going to be Ensign on that stretch of highway. So they're not adding any new accesses. Dolphin will remain closed to southbound traffic. And the only southbound, the intersection next to Ocean Crest will always remain southbound only.
Well, let's make this real. So if you're waiting to make a left-hand turn heading westward after getting off of 101 in pursuit of your juicy triple burger, you will perhaps join other cars in a line. And if there's three or four of them there, then there will be no further movement for traffic going to the city of Warrenton that way until traffic clears.
To a degree. I mean, obviously, you can go roundabout ways, but
but from that way, my point was, from that way to Warrenton, sort of short of going up north 2 miles and then
you
back
could,
east west.
You could, you can come, if you're going south from Astoria, you could exit off at Ocean Crest. That is a southbound ingress and a southbound egress, but it doesn't let you go northbound at all.
Right. So let's bring this back to Spur 104 and the plan development. Is one of the benefits of the planned unit development, or whatever you're calling it, that it somehow will mitigate that or address traffic?
Well, see, here's the situation. So as you know, Warrenton's had some pretty unfettered development over the last couple decades, and one of the issues that this city commission has committed to is looking at what is the impacts of that? We can't control what was happened in the past, but we those are our messes now, whether or not we created them. And so what we're trying to do is say, hey, this master plan is to look at what's the maximum allowable trips for traffic. And what is it we want as a town? Because this is going to be a community-developed master plan, not just property owners and a consultant, which is also very different from what we've done in the past.
So the traffic engineering plan, at least, staying within the topic here, is critical, and the numbers and the studies.
It is. I mean, if you look at Wendy's, for example, and I don't mean to pick on Wendy's. I really enjoy, a Frosty. But with Wendy's, when they went in and put their application, and keep in mind too, any application under 10,000 square feet usually doesn't go to the Planning Commission. Wendy's is not 10,000 square feet, so it was never going to go to the Planning Commission unless a variance was needed, and it wasn't. So basically what happened was with Wendy's, there was a traffic study done. We requested it. Say, hey, we know that traffic is bad there, so it's going to get worse. And they did traffic study, said it was always fine. And then we requested to have another traffic engineer look at that study to verify if in reality what they were saying was true. And the qualified expert, basically, an outside expert, said, yes, it's actually okay. Anybody with common sense tells you that's a bad intersection and that traffic is not going to flow well. And so...
Well, so is there not proper consideration of bias on the part of the applicant and his paid...
No, because the city actually requested the independent review. That wasn't the applicant. And so, you have two... If you go to LUBA, as you know, you're an attorney, mm-hmm. if you have two qualified experts say everything's fine, my common sense does not legally trump yes. two qualified experts. So,
well, it should.
Yeah, it should. But but I think at the same time, there's legal rights related to development and property rights. But so
but there's there's no legal right in a nuisance. So if you're last to come in, you don't have the same rights to develop as the first to come in. So if moving on to the next topic here in a second, it just seems to me that the developer, the late developer who wants to come in and will burden the rest of the community that's been here a long time with undue traffic and undue infrastructure demands and the need for, margin compensating infrastructure expense. Well, that seems to me tough cookies.
Well, again, it goes down to what's the laws you have on the books. And the city's been in a pretty accelerated effort to fix, holes in our development codes. But as you know, I mean, it can take 6 months to change the development code or more.
Yeah, we're dealing with that here in the city of Astoria, with the height, mm-hmm. the height restriction. Passionate and articulate, reasoned arguments on both sides. And it, from my own perspective, the same kind of thing is, if you come late and we get near our capacity for water or sewage and everybody has to pay for, a small number, relatively speaking, of units, or a few businesses, then, the fairness question comes in. But since we've had no callers here on that topic, we'll assume everybody is satisfied with the information. It's been clear and no questions remain. The number here is 503-325-0010, and that's for your contributions as well as your comments or questions on today's topic of the City of Warrenton. Mayor Henry Balanciefer has graciously agreed to be here, and we're going to move on to Elk. But first, I want to give a shout-out to Chuck from Astoria for a contribution to KMUN. Thank you so very much, Chuck. And I do want to remind callers that we have a modest goal for this hour for the KMUN membership drive, and that's $200. And it would be a nice way of telling the station that you want this kind of programming, this show, in fact, to continue. And so we would appreciate your call, your contributions, and your support. This is community-supported radio, so let's move on to the Elk. So what is the deal with the Elk?
Well, as you know, elk populations have continued to increase in the urban environments. And I know a lot of people who have basically said, well, we've been developing everything in the elk environment. That's partially true. But at the same time, if you actually look at historical elk numbers, City of Warrenton didn't have a whole herds roaming through the city limits long time ago. As a matter of fact, at one point, the elk had to be protected, and they had no hunting for elk back in, I think, in the 30s, because they were almost eradicated from the area. So there's we got to look at history. We got to look at the ecology. We've got to look at everything from forest practices to management, predators. What we're seeing is now that the elk have basically no predators within the urban areas, and they're starting to become residential elk.
There's a couple of them in the studio, aren't there?
And here, that might be
caught you off guard with that one.
We're starting to see predators move into the city. So coyote populations are growing, as are cougar populations. There's been a couple cougar sightings in the city. Additionally, as the elk grow in population, you have human-elk conflicts, both from feeding, but also from just elk hate dogs, especially the small yippy ones.
Yeah.
And we've had two dogs killed in the city limits in the last year and a half from elk. And in some cases, the elk have jumped fences to get into people's yards. And so there wasn't really much more the property owner could have done, other, you know, short of bring the dog in if they, but they didn't know, you know, they didn't know that the elk were in the yard until after they started hearing pained yelps, you know. And, you know, dogs will oftentimes get trampled. We've had multiple people charged on our trails.
No question that elk are a problem, Mayor Bale and Seifer. What is being done? Are there some hearings, or is there some sort of blue ribbon commission being assembled to address how to control it? I mean, really, at some point, it seems like, according to those who know better than I do, lethal force may be required, because we're running out of places to pack them up into a, you know, a trailer and release them into the wild. It's just that solution seems to be disappearing.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point, John, because a lot of people say, well, just relocate them. Well, Roosevelt elk have a very limited range of natural biological habitat, which is basically Coast Range and west. The rest in the state is Rocky Mountain elk, and it's a different species. And so all options are on the table. And Mayor Brown and I got together and said, hey, this is a big issue that's starting to affect our towns. And we started kind of putting our heads together and eventually came up with the idea of bringing ODFW on board, making a regional issue out of it instead of just a local issue of it. Because some of the management strategies, whatever those may be, expansion of existing management strategies or something new, will require landowner participation and buy-in. And so we've reached out to Oregon Solutions, who is now putting together and helping put together large property owner stakeholders that where management activities could occur.
So when you say management activities involving landowners, what are you talking about? Give them room and board, or giving an opportunity for them to be excluded and caged in with, you know, 10-foot fences? What are you talking about?
Hunting's obviously a existing management strategy, and so is harassment and hazing to try and move them to different locations. Perhaps a Gearheart, there's been talk about making a corridor, a protected corridor. There's been a lot of ideas that have been thrown out there. Like I said, nothing's been set in stone, nor have any of them been decided. We've only had one meeting, and that was really to scope out what we wanted to do in terms of the size of the issue. And so, I mean, there's, you know, what's been a de facto refuge of elk and what has not been. You've seen, like, hunting used to occur in the Fort Clatsop Forest, where the Fort Sea Trail is now. That all went away when the Fort Sea Trail went in. That became a de facto refuge. And so there's been, you know, whether people like it or not, hunting is part of the state's management strategy for populations. And as you get greater populations, you also have issues regarding like weather and food source supplies and all that. So what we also don't want to have happen is predators to start growing even further in numbers within our urban areas, because it's, and while people enjoy seeing the elk in their backyards, I don't think they're going to enjoy seeing a cougar rip the throat out of a
elk. It's picking up on last week's show, it's not beyond the realm of possibilities, given the rise in numbers and the removal from the endangered species list of the wolves, that the wolves could come and make maybe warrant in their own little Wendy's.
I've so actually been told by U.S. Forest Service at the Regards to Rural conference last year, they flat out said wolves will be on the coast in 3 years.
In 3 years. Wolves will be on the coast in three years.
If you talk to loggers, some say they've already seen them.
Well, it's okay to feed the wolves, isn't it?
Not in the city of Warrington.
Here in Astoria, I wonder if that would happen, but that might not turn out so well. But sorry, you know, for the flippant comment, but these are real concerns because, you know, the predators will follow the food, and that's what they do. So one quick point, because I remember you saying this at the Mayor's Coffee on Monday morning once, and that was that ODFW won't intervene to do lethal management or that sort of thing without some sort of community support.
Correct.
Or city consensus. Can you say a little bit more about that? By the way, this is KMUN, and we are doing a pledge drive. We need to come up with $200. Your vote for this show and other shows like it will be registered and support if we get to our $200 goal. Otherwise, we have 10 minutes. 325-0010 is the number if you have comments or questions. We're dealing with the city of Warrington's issues, particularly elk, and we have Mayor Balancy for today. So pick it up with that.
So ODFW, when we reached out to them, they basically, we had a town hall too about this, and they basically said that they actually are looking to increase their numbers of elk in the biological management unit. However, they recognize that perhaps that needs to be adjusted because a lot of that population is now in urban areas, which is not where you want them managed or at. You want them in the timberlands, the forest, their native environment, where they play a role in the food chain and in the ecosystem. And so they had basically said that if there's going to be any management strategies outside of existing, you know, Saddle Mountain unit hunting and all those other management strategies they're applying, it's going to need community buy-in because they're not going to just come in and just do something.
In other words, the city council needs to invite or pass a resolution inviting ODFW to come in and manage, quote-unquote,
not necessarily. I think really what it is they're looking for what we're doing now because they're the ones kind of helping guide us on putting this together is get stakeholders who have properties where management could occur that ODFW could come in and assist. Because there's no, unlike in like Southern Oregon or Eastern Oregon, there's not a whole ton of public land to do management strategies on. You hear about all these management things that ODFW is doing, and that's usually on BLM, state, or, you know, federal forest land, basically. We don't have a whole ton of that in nearby right now. You know, it's mostly privately owned forests in Clatsop, well, not Clatsop County, but in this area, so to speak, in the Clatsop Plains area.
What is your sense of either the consensus or your personal opinion about the viability as a for alternative solutions like harassment, hazing, or protective quarters for reducing the increasing burden of elk in their interactions?
Well, harassment and hazing has been around for quite some time. Matter of fact, before the elk became a prominent issue, I'd heard from constituents who had gotten what they called escalating harassment permits. So you try like paintballs. If that doesn't work, then you move to, say, rubber bullets, like a shotgun rubber bullet. There's been some pretty significant reports of that being ineffective. And so it's a tough issue because, and I think also I want to make a real clear point is that some folks want it to become a tourist industry, and I'm highly against that because what that does is it turns into neighborhoods becoming tourist stops. Right now we have problems with people can't get out of their houses.
You're kidding, aren't you? Elk as a tourist attraction for communities.
It exists
like
already.
Washington.
There are folks I know because I've met them and
well,
I've ran into
them.
They're
out in the rural area.
They're
like
coming from Seattle to come down here to go feed elk and get pictures with them. And they're stopping in the middle of the road. We had almost a traffic accident near the cemetery, oddly enough, where someone parked on a foggy day in the middle of the road on a turn corner, almost got flattened by a semi-truck that luckily was quick enough to brake. So they could walk out. They didn't park on the side of the road. They just walked out and took a picture of the elk in the cemetery and trying to get a selfie with them. We've got young mothers that are 23 or something like that, you know, their 20s. With their kids in their little Bjorn backs, running up to the elk to try and get a selfie with them. They're putting themselves at danger for, they think they're a docile elk, but they're wild animals.
Wow, that's regrettable.
Neighbors that can't get out of their driveways because people have parked there.
Yeah, I know some folks in Gearhart that had that issue. We're moving on towards the end of the show. I do want to give a big, big shout out to Harry from Cannon Beach. Harry, I think I used to deliver newspapers to Harry back in 68 or 69, the Kalamazoo Gazette. At any rate, I know that's a stretch, isn't it? You're that old? You bet I am. But anyway, Harry, thank you on behalf of everybody here at KMUN. And we should follow Harry's example and support KMUN because, you know, these kind of programs don't grow on trees. They require support from you, the listeners, and, you know, about the free rider problem. But we won't go into that right now. So let's move on in the limited time that we have left to discuss. Oh, have we got a caller? No? Yes, we do. This is KMUN. What's your comment or question?
Yeah, before you leave the subject.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a...
I can't hear it. I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead. Turn your radio down, too.
Yeah, on the elk. Oh.
Okay. I can hear you. Go ahead and ask your question.
In Cape Mears, we have the same issues. And so I'm not really clear, you know.
Okay, go ahead. You're not really clear on what, ma'am?
Well, we're not really clear on why, you know, the people in Cape Mears, yeah, it's an issue. They live with it. They just sort of compensate for it. But they don't. They're not trying to relocate him. Now, I realize the herds are different in numbers, but I don't. I still don't get. Is it the yapping dogs? Is it the tramping on the landscape? What is the issue that people in Gearhart have with the elk? I don't get it.
Yeah, Gearhart and probably Warrenton.
I get it. But I don't buy the predator issue. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. I just don't.
Let's give that one to Mayor Balancever, since he's not representing Gearhart or representing Warrenton. Take a stab at it. Why are people upset about the elk?
Well, when your dog gets killed or you get charged on a trail, and there's been, I mean, we've even had police officers charged when they're responding to being charged, other people being charged on the trails. People don't feel safe walking out of their houses because they're getting charged. That becomes a public safety issue. Additionally, there's a lot of folks who... their properties are getting significantly damaged, fencing, you know, torn apart from whole herds. It really boils down to public safety and property. And I can't speak for Gearhart, but I do know that there's been also issues where people have, there's little Facebook groups that people go and find the elk, and then there's people from out of town that literally will come and swarm a neighborhood to go watch.
What about the traffic accidents involving elk? Are they any sort of problem that's on a radar screen?
That is on the radar screen. ODOT is involved in that. There's quite a bit of discussion that has surrounded the issue related to speeds and corners, and how do we provide warnings so that motorists don't bail around a corner. If there's some sort of crossing that they're like a light could be popped up, we're still trying to figure out how that works out. So when I say management strategies, I think people automatically assume going out there hunting, you know, with Elmer Fudd. That's just one of many suggestions, and we're not set on any one item. I think this is going to be a comprehensive strategy, whatever comes out of this group. And I think it's probably important to note, too, I'm actually stepping out of the role of the advocate and moving more towards a chairmanship or convener role, which is supposed to be non-neutral. So Warrenton will actually get a new representative on the elk committee.
That sounds good. Caller, thanks for the call. What's your question or comment? Are you there?
You know, what's the big problem? Well, I'll tell you, if you hit one of these poor creatures, it's a big problem. The animal suffers. There's property damage. I live out here in Ocean Shores, and we have a tremendous population of deer. And they're all over the place all the time. You never know when one's going to leap out. But there's, you know, a public safety issue and, you know, also a financial issue at stake. They'll just be in your, all over the front of your car without you being able to react. And they do, and these deer out here can be aggressive. And I've seen them kick up dogs.
You're talking about deer or elk or both?
Deer.
Oh.
It's sort of they're similar. and people come out here and they feed them apples, and residents feed them apples. I've heard of them feeding them oats, which I don't think is a good idea.
Do you have a feeding ordinance in where you live, sir?
Yeah, well, I mean, they have signs, but no one pays attention.
Yeah. Enforcement is an issue because the officer has to visually see the act occur for it to be enforceable in court, or somebody has to be willing to turn them in and sign the ticket and show up at court to say it happened. And so it takes, oftentimes, unfortunately, it takes a tragic event like a pet dying or somebody getting injured to motivate people to do that.
Well, there are issues, and I think the last caller wasn't really wrapping her mind around, yeah, what happens when you hit one of these things? What happens when it attacks your dog or you? And the property damage, I have no idea, but I know there's many, many accidents out here with cars hitting deer. All right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for the call. We're going to need to wrap it up here, so I'm going to thank all the folks that contributed to KMUN and our pledge drive. I'm going to thank especially Mayor Balanciever of the city of Warrenton, got the city right, who has offered his articulations and his experiences and insights into the two problems we covered. We didn't get to housing, perhaps another show, on the Spur 104 and the Elk. So this has been a conversation with John Orr, and we appreciate your calls, your listening, your support. And I believe we met our pledge goal.